This is an interview with Lewis Witkin by Laurie Tarlow, conducted on February 18th, 1977. Tape 1, Side 1.
Okay, Mr. Witkin, can you tell me something about your background?
Well, what background would you mean?
When, and tell me about when you were born, where you were born.
Oh, yes. I was born in 1893 in Lithuania.
What city were you born in?
In a small town, a small city, by the name Dubinov.
Could you spell that?
No, I wouldn't know how to spell
you
that.
You don't know how to spell it? Okay. What is your birthday?
My birthday is January 15th.
So you just had a birthday.
Yeah.
You were 84.
84 years old, yeah.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
Thanks.
All right. Now, when did you come to the United States?
1912.
What made you come to the United States? For what reason?
Well, for one reason, I didn't want to go in the army in Europe,
mm-hmm.
in Russia. And I was ready to go in about a year, you know. And I didn't see the future in Russia there. So I had cousins here in the United States, and I wrote to them and asked them would I want to come to this country. They said, yes, if you got money enough to pay for it, come.
How did you get here?
I got here by boat, you know.
How did the boat come?
We took the boat in Hamburg, Germany, and we landed in New York at Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 16 days on the water, on the ocean. And then when I come to New York, we land in Ellis Island, in the Kessler Garden, they call it. And then I was in New York. I met my cousin there, and I stayed there.
They met you when you got off the boat?
Yeah.
Were you scared?
Yeah, one of my cousins came and met me. Huh?
Were you scared?
No. Why?
You were going to a strange place. Did you leave your whole family in Europe?
I had a family. I had my parents in there, and I had my, family or my brothers and sisters there. I had I left four brothers there and four sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one came here.
No one children.
The only one.
Family. The only one that came. Now you came here. Where did you do when you got to New York? How did you find work?
Well, that was a problem. I knew my trade from New York, from Europe. You know, my dad was a butcher. You know, and I was in I knew that trade and. Right away when I came, of course, I couldn't talk nothing, you know, English. And so my cousin got me a friend, you know, that he was a bus painter, you know, and he took me in and showed me how to paint. So I worked with him for a while till I found a place, till I could understand a little English, and then I found a place where I could work, and then I quit that. So I started working in the butcher shop, and I worked there, worked myself all the time. And I've been there for 4 years in New York. I really didn't stay in New York itself. I was in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Oh, you were?
And I was in Bayonne, New Jersey. I traveled a lot too, you know,
Did you go to Jersey City?
I was in Jersey City. I was in Asbury Park, and I was putting it all over there. And
did you live in those places, or did
no,
you?
No, I only lived in Bayonne, New Jersey. I lived for a while, and then I lived for a while. The reason I lived in Bayonne, New Jersey, I had a friend of mine there. He was a cousin to my cousin, and he was it was during the Depression. That time it was a Depression also, you know. And I couldn't get a job, and he was a foreman in Standard Oil Company. In the wintertime, he took me in there, and I worked there for about 6 months.
Uh-huh. Did you like that part of the country? Yeah,
I did like Bayonne, Georgia. It's a very nice place, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there for 6 months, and after we got married, I lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey until we left.
Why did you go to Superior?
Well, I don't know. We just got married, and we thought we're going to go for a honeymoon someplace, and we knew some people out here, you know.
Who did you know?
Oh, there's some, there used to be old people by the name of Goldfinch.
Goldfinch.
Yeah. And one of their sons, he worked with me together there in New York. See?
Uh-huh.
So I happened to know him. So he was telling me about this part of the country, how nice it is, and I thought, well, we're going to take a trip. It was in the summertime. So we did. We came in here. It was beautiful. I didn't like New York because New York was so hot, you know, in the summertime. And we weren't used to that kind of climate. So we took a trip and we came here. It was, I think it was in May. It was beautiful out here. So we thought we'll stay for a while. So we've been here ever since.
Uh-huh. Well, what, do you know why these people, the gold finds, came here?
No, I wouldn't know exactly why how they come here, because they were here way before I came. And how did they get here, I don't know. But they had a son in England, and they had a son in New York, two of them in New York. But how they, the old people, how they come here, I wouldn't know.
Because it's not the most usual place for people to come to.
Well, as a rule, you come, you know, you have friends all over.
Mm-hmm.
And one brings another, you know, and that's the way you get together.
I have a question for you. Do you remember, when you were living in New York, if there was some kind of program for the Jews that brought Jews out to places like Superior or Milwaukee from the one of the Jewish organizations in New York? They were trying to help Jews move out of New York.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, there was an organization in New York that anybody wants to leave New York and couldn't afford it to go anywhere, they'd pay their fare and give them a chance to get there.
Do you remember anything about this organization?
No, I don't. I don't. I know they had this other organization, but I wouldn't know exactly where it was or who owned it. I've been to around it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they had one.
Was it for Jews?
Yeah, for Jewish organization, yeah.
Yeah, that was called the Industrial Removal Office.
Oh, I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people came to this part of the country because of movements like that.
No, these people came to this part of the country, they all come by themselves. Because
uh-huh.
I'll tell you, there was a few families came here way back.
Do you remember their names?
Yes. There was Cairns. And then there was most of the Cainers, you know. There was a bunch of about four or five brothers of Cainers. So the old man, Cainer, came over here, and then one by one they got them over here, all the families, see.
Mm-hmm.
And they now after they got in here, and they of course some of them grow up and get married, and there must have been about 25 families of the Cainers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you remember the old man's name?
Well, there was one name, one of them was Sapsiken, Kainer, and Sapsiken. And then there was Sam, they called him Sam Kainer, he was the John Evener, they used to live on John Evener, you know, so they called him my nickname, Sam Kainer, Sam the John Evener. But his name was Sam Kainer. He was really the only one, the oldest one came to Superior. And he brought down most of the families down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they all come from Covenant Gubernia there, from Valkemir.
How do you spell? What part of the world is that?
Valkemir.
Valkemir.
Yeah. I wouldn't know how to spell it.
But where is it? Where is it near? What?
That's close to Vilna.
Uh-huh. Now, these people came long before you came.
Oh yeah, they came in. They came. Some of them came in 1902. Some of them came in 1985, 1983, way back.
Oh really?
Yeah.
And you don't know why they came here? Why Superior?
I don't know the reason why they came here, but as I say, there's one or two came, and then they brought down most of the families here.
Are any of them still alive?
Some of them, yes. Not very many, but some of them are still alive.
See. These people came, what business were they in?
Well, most of them, when they came here, some of them had little stores, you know, little dragon stores, you know, and some of them were peddlers, and they tried to make a living the best way they could, because the times was really tough here in Superior years ago. even when I came here, times were tough, you know. Mm-hmm. The street wasn't developed, I mean the city wasn't developed like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the places, they didn't have no water in the houses. They had pumps up on the street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tar Avenue wasn't paved.
It wasn't paved?
No. Not even for my time, it wasn't paved. And they had the trolley cars going in the center with wires and there weren't very many automobiles at all. They used horses, most of them. Everything was delivered by horse and wagon.
Now, what did you do when you got here?
I went in the butcher business right away.
Now, you were a kosher butcher or a regular butcher?
I'll tell you what I did. When I came here, the first thing I did, I bought a horse and wagon and I went out in the country. And I bought cattle.
Really?
Because I knew the business, see?
Uh-huh.
And I bought cattle for a while. It was almost about a year. And then I opened up a butcher shop of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to slaughter my own cattle and sell.
Were you a shochet or just?
Oh, it was shochet, sure. But I mean, we used to slaughter them ourselves. I mean,
uh-huh.
Oh, everything was by shochet. So. And I had a butcher shop for quite a while.
Did only the Jews buy from you? Or the
Jewish and Goyim, they all bought it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you have to wear a kippah, or it wasn't like that?
I was.
Yeah, had to wear yarmulke when you did it? Or
no,
it wasn't. No. So it wasn't.
No, there wasn't such a religious, no.
No.
No. Anyways, I had that butcher shop for quite a while. And then I had a partner with me, and then...
Who was your partner?
His partner was Abe Berzon. He still lives in Duluth. He's still alive yet. We were together for about 4 years, I guess. And then our business wasn't very good, so we sold out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to West Duluth. You know West Duluth here? Oh. West Duluth is between here and Superior on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And I started butcher shop down there.
How'd that go?
But over there I had a Goyiske butcher shop.
Uh-huh.
I had Goyiske men working, you know. And I was there for quite a while, and then I had one man come along, a couple of guys come along, and they wanted to buy me out for the bed. So he asked me if I wanted to sell it. I said, sure, I'll sell it. So I sold it. I made good money on it, and I sold it. That was the second butcher shop. Then when I sold that, I was on buying on the road again for quite a while. And handling just livestock. I wasn't butchering any at all. I was just handling livestock and selling them.
Were there many Jewish people that did this?
Hmm?
Many Jewish people that went out and sold livestock like you did?
No. I used to go out to the country and buy livestock and sell them to the market, see.
Oh, here? The
yeah, out here. We had a market up here.
So how did you transport the cattle?
Oh, we had a big truck, you know. I bought a big truck then. I had money already, you know. When I came to New York, I didn't have the money. But after I was here a while, I made money and I bought a big truck, used to transport them. I had a guy working for me. And so I done that for quite a while. And then it was 1929,
mm-hmm.
The Depression came along. Well, I quit the business and I went to New York.
You went back to New York with your family?
I packed in the family in the car and I drove to New York. 1929.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the relatives there in New York. One was in Asbury Park, one was way up in the Bronx, all over there. And we stayed there about a month, you know. It was in the summertime, so it was pretty hot. It was in 29. And I had a lot of stock on hand, I say, a lot of cattle on hand them days in the pasture, you know, in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So the market was slipping, you know, it was getting down because the depression was coming up. So I rushed home and I just came home in time and I sold them, and that was in 29. Then I opened up again the butcher shop again with another fellow, a kosher butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that from 49,
from
29 till 44. And I quit and I retired.
Uh-huh. So that was a kosher butcher shop?
That was a kosher butcher shop.
In Superior?
Yeah.
What street was that on?
That was on 5th Street, 5th and Ogden.
Now, what I want to know, when you came here in 1916, there was some sort of Jewish community here, a Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah, there
what
was.
What streets bounded that area?
There was an old downtown.
Downtown.
Old on Fifth and Ogden.
Fifth and Ogden.
Yeah, that in that neighborhood. All the Jews lived there. The synagogues, two synagogues was there, and two rabbis was there, and two shochtim was there. Everything, there was quite a big community here. And now there isn't so many.
Now, how many people do you think were here when you arrived? How many Jewish people?
When I arrived here, must have been here about 150 families.
Okay, now.
Now it's probably only.
You think
75 families or so.
Mm-hmm. Now, I spoke yesterday with Mr. Schneider.
Barney Schneider, yeah.
And he came here in about 1907.
Yeah, he came before me.
He says that there were about 300 families here when he came here. Do you think a lot of people left? Was there some problem that people, Jews were leaving?
Well, I don't know. Some people left, and some of them during the years, the old timers, they died off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take like the last few years, we lost a lot of people here. Some of them passed away. And about 15 families moved away. They moved to in the warm climate. They moved to Sean City, that's California.
Mm-hmm.
Now this winter, three, four of them moved away, three, four families. See?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we lost a lot. And the older people, they died out.
Mm-hmm. But how about in the early days? Was it a thriving community? What type of activities did you have for the Jews when you got here?
We didn't have much activities at all. They had Well, they had Jewish cheders a lot.
Mm-hmm. How many cheder?
Huh?
There was a cheder?
You know a cheder.
Yeah, I know what it is, but where was it?
It was right in the synagogues.
Which synagogue did you go to?
I go to the Hebrew synagogue. What do you call it?
The Brotherhood synagogue?
Brotherhood, yeah. Hebrew Brotherhood.
The one that's
Hebrew Brotherhood on 5th and 6th and Hammond.
That's a Gudas Achim, or that's a different?
Yeah, Hebrew Brotherhood. You know. Yeah. That's the Orthodox.
Is that the one that's still standing?
No, that's the temple. That's a different one. That's a new.
No, the one that's downtown around
yeah.
here. What's yeah. your, that's the same one that
the
you.
The same
used
one, to? Yeah. Are you sure that?
Yeah, Rabbi Hyatt said.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the same one.
Now, when you came here, there weren't. You think there were about 150 families.
Well, yes.
You didn't go to school here, but were your associations with Jews or with Gentiles? Who did you associate with?
No, I associated mostly the Jewish associate by himself.
Why was that?
I don't know. The old people, you know, most of the old people couldn't talk English, you know, and they were by themselves, you know. There's a lot of them, they used to come from the old country, and that's where they come, and they stay there, you know. They didn't go to no school or anything, you know.
Was there any, well, you belonged to a synagogue, did people gather somewhere, you know, always get together?
Oh, yes, we used to get together, sure, we used to have everything in the city, in the synagogue, whatever that came up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have like, and then we have the weddings there, and bar mitzvah there, and everything, you know. Really, this time, everybody was together. It was just like your one family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about?
Just like one family.
Were there a lot of marriages between people in the community?
Marriage?
Marriages, many people met and married from this community?
What do you mean?
Like Jewish boys met Jewish girls from Superior?
Oh, yeah, sure. Quite a few of them from Superior, Duluth, Minneapolis, you know, they used to get together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go to dances. They have all dances once a year, you know, and like them Kippur dance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Used to come from all over, you know. I mean, you know, Minneapolis is not far from here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the young people associate one with another.
Mm-hmm.
I know my family, they used to run there back and forth all the time, you know.
How did you get there?
By car.
By car, even in the early days? You know, 1960?
Well, not them days, no.
In those days, how did
you? The first car I had was in 21, I think. No, it was in 1819.
Oh, really?
I bought a car, yeah. I bought a Ford, I paid $600 for it. And 3 days later, they stole them.
Oh, you're kidding. So what did you do?
I had to buy another one.
You didn't have insurance?
Oh, yeah, I got insurance.
Now,
yeah.
You said that a lot of people were in business. What were some of the other businesses that people that the Jewish people were in when you got there and before you were here?
Most of the business, most of the Jewish people were here from the old country. They came, they were peddlers.
What did they peddle?
Most of them peddled junk, you know. And some of them peddled fruit. And then they had a couple of junk shops, Yiddish junk shops, you know. They studied in a couple of them.
What's a Yiddish junk shop?
You know, the Jewish people had a junk shop.
Uh-huh.
An open shop and where the peddlers used to pick up stuff and bring there and sell it, see. So there was two, three of them.
Do you remember where they were, who owned them?
Yeah, sure. One of them owned the, what was his name, Kern. His name was Kern. They're still there on 16 Banks.
Really? You still got a Yiddish junk shop?
Yeah, they're still there. Of course, the old people in there, but the junk shop is still there.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was, let's see, what was the other one? What was the other one? There's two, three of them. I can't think of them. Yeah, Shapiro. Joe Shapiro had a junk shop.
George Shapiro.
Yeah. And then Kaner's had a junk shop. Kaner Brothers. There was three of them. And that's the way the old people made a living, you know.
Did the Jews live in one area and some of the Jews live in another area?
Most of the people lived around town. Most of the people. There isn't very many lived above Broadway, above 10th Street, you know.
Uh-huh.
Most of them lived way downtown. And years ago, you know, it was not, just before my time, some of them lived right across there. They call it College Point.
Uh-huh.
That's where the people live there, you know. It's almost close to the Lute, you know, right by the water. And then later years, they moved up. So one fella was living there, they call him Sapsa Kalispunter. Because he was living right there, you know, Sapsa Kalispunter.
And they had
So they moved up, all of them moved up as far as 6th Street, 7th Street, and 5th Street, all in that neighborhood. Ogden Avenue, and John Avenue, and Todd Avenue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the later years, most of the Jewish had stores downtown.
Mm-hmm.
The Dragon stores, and some of them had Tavern.
Who owned some of these stores?
Well, there was a fellow by the name Haberbuch.
Mm-hmm.
He owned the Dragon store. There was a fellow by the name Gordel Shapiro. And Chernoff had a shoe store.
Mm. What stores were here when you got here? Were there any businesses? Jewish businesses that had been here for a long time that you knew of when you arrived in Superior?
When I arrived, they were here already.
Yeah. Anybody else who had a big store was making money?
Yes, there was a big store, a Dragon store, they call it, what was his name? I forgot. Oh gosh, I forgot his name now. He was here before I came here. They were on Tenton Tower. I can't think of his name. At the big Dragon store.
Drug store or luggage store?
Dragon's. You know, clothing.
Oh, a Dragon's.
Yeah, Dragon's.
Well, Siegel?
Siegel Brothers are still there. They got a clothing, men clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
They're still there, Siegel Brothers. They were here before I came too.
Mm-hmm. How about Cones?
The Cones were here.
And Isidore Cohn?
Isidore Cohn?
Yeah.
He's the con. He passed away. He was in business also, but
there were a lot of cones that were in business.
Yeah, and then let's see.
Who were the leaders of the Jewish community? You know, when a community, somebody's in charge. You know, that's important.
Well, we had the rabbi.
Uh-huh. Who was the rabbi?
At that time, we had Hyatt was the. For the rabbi, before this, his father, you know, his
mm-hmm.
father. And then we had the other one, we had a rabbi there was Katz, Rabbi Katz.
Rabbi Katz, what was his first name, you remember?
No, I wouldn't know his name at all. They call him Rabbi Katz, I don't know. Rabbi Katz.
Did you have teachers, other people, very religious people living here?
Religious?
Yeah.
What do you mean religious? Most of them are religious in our synagogue. Most of them are religious.
Yeah.
You know, we had in our synagogue, we had about 125 members.
Mm-hmm. That was
in my synagogue where I go. And on the high holidays, we didn't have enough room for them. We used to sit out in the bedik, you know, in the other small rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We used to set up more chairs, you know, for people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only got 17 members.
Oh, so you still go to that synagogue?
Most of them went over to the temple, see. So we only got about 17, 18 members now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I'm very anxious to go and look at the synagogue. I want to go inside and look at it.
Yeah.
It's been there for a long time.
Well, that synagogue, yeah, I found that synagogue when I came here in 1906, and it was built in 1906, I think.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever hearing about other synagogues that were here before your time?
Yes, there was another one across the street.
Before that, was there another one?
Well, that was built just about 2-3 years before.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that did belong to that's the temple now.
Oh, okay. But nothing else?
See, there was two parts that were divided in Superior.
Uh-huh.
Why were they divided? Because some of them were too high tone, you know, some like the businessmen, they didn't want to associate with the peddlers, you know.
Uh-huh. So which one were you?
When I came, I was in the other shul for a while, but I didn't like him, so I switched over to this shul, to the Orthodox shul, because I didn't like the other shul, because they weren't Orthodox at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the businessmen in
yeah.
the other shul.
So I still go to the same shul for the last 60 years or so.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And furthermore, I go every morning, you know. We have shul every morning there. In the other shul, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The temple, they only have once a week, twice a week, see. And we have every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them that has to come for Yorcha, they got to come to our shul. They come to our shul, see.
That's right. Okay, we're going to... contacts with the Gentile community?
Yes. I did because I was in business.
Mm-hmm. Did other people?
Not everybody. Most of them, though. Young people, not the oldest people.
Why not?
As I say, they were by themselves because most of them, the old people come, they couldn't talk, you know, and they were kind of staying away, you know, from the Gentile people.
Mm-hmm.
But the young people, I was different. I like the green right away, you know, so I can learn how to talk a little.
Did the cold here bother you? The fact that it was such a cold? You said you came here because you didn't like the heat in New York. What about how cold it was here?
That didn't bother me at all because I'm used to that.
Oh, yeah.
Where I come from, you know, just as cold as Superior.
Mm.
I've been out here in 40 below. It didn't bother me at all.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about leaving Superior because there weren't enough Jews here?
No, I never thought about it because I'll tell you why. When I first came here, I liked it. We liked it, both of my wife and I. We had a lot of friends in here. We made a lot of friends. And then the children were born here, see. And after children were born, you can hardly move around, you know, very much. And as a matter of fact, we liked it here. Because this town was almost the same thing like the town we had in Europe.
Oh.
See.
Were a lot of people who were living here, a lot of the Jews from that same area of Europe?
From
around where you came?
From my area? Not from the same town, no.
The same
but
climate?
Close by, yeah. Close by, yeah. But not from the same town. I'm the only one in Superior from that town. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one in Superior that... Most of my relatives here.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Caners here. And you find maybe 5 dozen Caners. They're all relatives. And I'm the only one by that name that I'm not a relative, you know.
How many children did you have?
We had four. We lost one. He was 44 years old. He came back from the army, you know, he was in the army for 4 years. And then after that he got sick. He passed away. He was married. But there were no children. Then I got two more boys. They're lawyers, you know, both of them. Then I got one daughter in Duluth. There she is. She lost her husband just a month ago. Come in!
Getting back to Superior, when you arrived, you were telling me before about two different synagogues and how they were separated. Some were for the businessmen, one wasn't Orthodox enough. Could you go into that a little more?
I was there for a while, yes, to the other synagogue, you know.
That was they called themselves reformers, you know. They called themselves high time because some of them came from Germany, you know. And they didn't want to associate with the Jewish peddlers, you know. They weren't good enough for them, so they had a separate school, you know. And this was till they built the temple, see.
Mm-hmm. Now those people that you said they were German, they were here for a long time, maybe.
Oh yeah, some of them were here for quite a while.
Who were those people?
What were they?
Yeah, who were they? What were their names?
One was Charlie Frank.
Uh huh. Did he own a business?
He was. Let's see, what was he doing? I don't know, he was some agent for the government, I guess, I don't know. Companies, he used to send, years ago, they used to have a lot of camps here.
What kind of camps?
In the woods, you know. They used to have a lot of guys, they used to send them from one place to another in a camp, you know, to cut some lumber.
Mm-hmm.
So he had that job, he had an office in Duluth, and they used to get up a bunch of people, he'd get $1 a piece out of them, see? Probably 40, 50 of them. And they send them away, he would say, 100 miles from here to a camp. And you associate with that camp, you know. After they got in there, they give them work for about, a week, 2 weeks, you know, so they make up their money, what they spent for fare and everything. And then they send them back, and he had to send another bunch, you know. That's the way he used to work, you know.
So
he was a German fellow.
He was a German Jew. How long was he? He'd been here for a long time?
Oh, he's been here. I found him here. He's been here a long time. But he had an office in Duluth, you know.
Uh-huh. His name was Charlie Frank.
So. Charlie Frank, yeah. He's dead now.
And were there other German Jews here?
People? Well, there were, but...
Remember their names?
Let's see. I can't recall most of the names because they were gone. Lots of them were gone already.
You remember a name Nathan or a name Bilstein? Or Abraham family, or let's see.
How do you know them all?
I checked.
It's not more than I do.
No, I think you know more than I do. And try to remember some of those German people, because those are the people I'm interested in, because they're the people that might have been here a long, long time ago.
Yeah, German people, they're Muslim and dead now.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I know, but I can't think of a lot of names. You know this here, got a store here, you know Hyman Greenblatt's wife got a store?
Hyman Greenblatt, okay.
Edelstein's?
Yeah. They were German?
She had a partner, he was German, you know. I forgot what it was his name, you know. Oh, he was married to, I can't think of his name now, he was married to... No, my memory ain't so good now. I don't remember so good what it was.
You're doing this fine. Okay, we'll try.
Anyway, I forgot the name and who he was married to. He was a German too. He passed away a few years ago too. There was 3-4 of them Germans there. And,
they came. Did anybody ever tell you stories when you got here, how the Jews first came to Superior?
No.
You never were interested why
no,
the Jews first
came? No, the first story I know, there was the Caners, you know. They had a junkyard downtown, and they were the first one came here in 1980 or something, or maybe before, and they had a lot of relatives in Europe.
It was 1880?
Yeah, about 1880. They had a lot of relatives, and they brought them down one by one, you know, because times were tough over there. So they brought them one by one, and then, you know, that's how they all came here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But how he came at first, I don't know.
But you know that those were among the first Jews.
Of course, there's a lot of them in Duluth, you know, came before that time. I wouldn't know, but a lot of them came in Duluth before, you know. Some of them settled in Superior, some of them settled in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all relatives, you know. All them Caners and Cairns, they're all relatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. You told me a little bit about weddings, and since you were a butcher, where did you live?
What do you mean?
Where did your family
live? Superior?
Yeah.
I lived on 5th and Ogden for 42 years.
Uh-huh.
I had my own home there, and I lived there for 42 years. I lived there from... I bought the...
Yeah, I bought the house in 21 and I lived there till 1961.
Mm-hmm. I have another question. You said you bought a house in 1921. When you got here, did the Jewish people ever think of living someplace else away from where the rest of the Jews lived, or did you feel you had to live in a Jewish area?
No, you didn't have to, but it's really you, when you come to a strange town, you know, you go amongst the Jewish, you know, to live, you know, because you don't know anybody else, you know, mm-hmm. and you're more satisfied to live it amongst the Jewish, you know.
Did the Gentiles mind where you lived? Did they
say
you can't live here? Was there anything?
Oh, no, there wasn't. There wasn't anything like that at all.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you can remember about stories you might have heard about Jews that were here before you? That's what I'm still aiming for. If you can remember anything about when you first got here or before you came about the Jews that were living here. Anything like that? Did you belong to a Order of Brith Abraham? Remember what?
No,
that
was? we had the Zionist organization here.
When was that? Was it early in the?
Oh, we had since I was here for the last since 1960. I mean, since 1912, 1913.
Do you remember the name of that organization?
Zionist organization.
No, it didn't have a Hebrew name.
Then we had a B'nai B'rit.
But that was later, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was later.
But do you remember something called Brith Abraham?
No.
And were you involved in the Cemetery Association?
Yeah.
Because I know that started about when you came here.
But the Cemetery Association?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Did you help establish that?
Yes. Yes, we all belong. This cemetery belongs to the whole town. Mm-hmm. And when I came, really there was nobody in the cemetery. There was only about a half a dozen people. Now we must have, I don't know how many we got there.
Mm-hmm. I know, I went and I looked yesterday.
There was a half a dozen people right in the front where I came here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's going to be it for now.
Okay.
You.